Hello, this is Ian Westner from the Museum of the American Military Family, and this is our podcast, America Remembers Vietnam. I'm speaking to Larry Wolfman Hurtado. Hello, Larry.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing just fine. So, Larry, we'll start off right away. Why do you think Americans should remember Vietnam?
Because it was a war that most of the people don't know nothing about what went on. And there were too many people, too many protesters out there. I turned down a Bronze Star when we landed, came back medevac, and when we landed in San Francisco in Pravis Air Force Base, I looked up and I seen some people walking around with picket signs. They were protesting the war. Of course, it was far from where I was at, but I knew what was going on. And then when I was at the hospital, and I got transferred from Hamilton Air Force Base to the hospital in Fitzsimmons, and they came up with some orders for a Bronze Star. And I took it down to the hospital commander, and I told him I just didn't want it. I mean, that was my protest against the protesters. So, or should I say, also about the way we were treated when we were in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm. By the military brass, or?
Yeah, by the military itself. When we got there, they said, we're not at war. We're here to help police the area. So do not fire until you're shot at. Well, I felt like, give me a knife. I'll go out there and fight a gunfight.
Mm.
That's what it was like, you know.
So you were unprepared, so to speak.
Yeah, but we were prepared, but the thing about it, the way they told us, you know, that's what it was like, you know, let them shoot at you first.
Mm-hmm. When you joined the Air Force, how old were you?
I was 18 years old. I had just graduated. 2 weeks I had graduated from high school.
And at that time, what did you think the Vietnam War was all about?
I didn't think much of it. I just thought maybe there was a battle going on, and pretty soon it'll be over with, because it really hasn't escalated that much yet.
Now, did you volunteer or were you drafted?
I volunteered. And the day I was going in, they came up with I went out to the mail, and my draft papers were there, my draft notice.
Oh. So either way, you were going.
Either way, I was on my way.
So compared to what you thought, or perhaps what you didn't think, and the reality of war, what struck you about that? Like, how different was what you imagined versus what you actually got?
When I was in the States, I was stationed in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and I thought anything would be better than being stationed here.
Mm-hmm.
So I went over and put in for overseas duty. I went for Germany, Spain, any nice area that I could.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy working there in the office says, you've got one more choice. He says, I said, okay. I said, my last choice, Vietnam.
Mm.
And he says, no, don't do it. He says, you'll get it. I said, no, I won't. I says, they don't want me out there. And sure enough, a couple months later, there's some orders for Vietnam. And when I got there, my first day that I was there, we were in Saigon, in Tan Son Nhut Air Base, Air Force Base, and we had that night, I was in bed, and I just finished writing some letters telling the family everything was fine, that I was okay, not to worry about it. And just then I heard some footsteps, and two or three people just running through there, and they sounded like a couple of turkeys, because I couldn't understand a word they were saying. And they were Viet Cong.
Mm.
And they ran about 4 feet away from me, but the wire was there around by the barracks. And I sat up to listen, And then after a while, I heard a Jeep coming around, and they were yelling at them, "Larai, Larai, Larai." And I didn't know what that meant, but that was halt. Mm. And then they said halt in English three times. And then they let go of the... They started shooting at them, and you could hear the rounds where they were hitting on the ground, and there were ones that hit the body, which is like a plop. And loud scream, and all of a sudden the noise was over. And when I heard that, I went underneath my my sheets, thinking, what the hell am I doing here? Man, I could be in Cheyenne right now. You know, but when I was in Cheyenne, I was thinking, hell no, this is, anything's better than Cheyenne.
damned either way, it seems. Did you make any lasting friendships while in the service?
Oh, yeah, yeah, all throughout basic training and when I was stationed there in Cheyenne, I made a lot of friends there. And also in Vietnam. But I can't remember most of them. See, I've got a disease. It's called CRS. Can't remember it. So I've forgotten a lot of things. I've forgotten a lot of things that happened in Vietnam. And so... Maybe
it's for the best.
Yeah.
The Vietnam War was during turbulent and evolving times, back home especially. Did you ever experience strong racial tensions in the military, or were things generally, did no one really care about what your skin color was?
The only racial thing I came in with was when I was in basic training. Some guy... Yeah, I did. Twice. But this guy was ended up going to OTS, Officer Training School. Mm-hmm. But he was in basic training with us before he went to OTS. And he said something to one of the other Chicanos that was there. And it was kind of like a racial thing. So I stopped him on the stairway, being I'm not afraid of anything or... I'm not about to back down. I stopped him when he was coming down the stairs, and I confronted him with it, and I told him I better not hear him come up with any more racial things against Chicanos, or else he'd have to meet up with me. And never heard anything else about him.
well, there we go.
Okay. Yeah, one day we were out having a, we were partying, and I went over to the dining hall to get something to eat. And this guy that I know, Guajardo was his name, he was standing there and arguing with this other guy. And the other guy's name was Vichek, and he used to hang around with us all the time. What I mean us is most of the Chicanos that hung around together.
Mm-hmm.
And... So Guajardo says, did you hear what Vichek just said? I said, nope. I said, don't want to hear it. And like I said, we have been drinking out there and enjoying. They had a couple of kegs out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm walking away, and this guy says, I'm free, I'm white, I'm 21. He says, you're just free. So I turn around and I says, Vichek, what did you say? He says, I'm free, I'm white, and wham, he was on his ass. I mean, I just knocked him, and he was down on his butt. And so he got up, and I decked him again, and then and I was beating on him, and two sergeants came over, grabbed me, pulled me away from him. So once he pulled me away from him, the other guy... I think his name was Guajardo. He jumped him and started beating on him. And then they let me go and got Guajardo off of him. And I looked at V-Check and I said, nah, boom, I started beating him again. So finally, they took both of us off of him. And they talked to us and everything. They made us shake hands. I didn't want to, but I went ahead and did it. And I went over and got me my sandwich and went out to eat. And I'm sitting there drinking beer and eating. And I started getting mad, getting worse than what I was. And so anyhow, it was quitting time, and there comes V-Check. And I went over and I told him, you know, V-Check, I said, I didn't like what you said. He said, but we shook hands. Yeah, but to me that didn't mean nothing. I said, just to get away from the sergeant. And so we went at it again. So I decked him again. I had him on the ground. I put my fingers in his mouth and just pulling his mouth apart. I grabbed him from his throat, twisting his throat. And I mean, I was ready to really harm this guy. And then he yells out for another Chicano. The other Chicano comes over and grabs me and pulls me back. And he tells V-Check, go, he says. Run. And V-Check is barely walking away. He says, run, he says. If you don't run, I'm going to let him go. He keeps walking real slow, and then he lets me go. So there I am on all over him again, just kicking his butt. And
poor V-Check's really getting a hammering today.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just didn't take to racial things.
Absolutely.
You know? And I just literally just beat the holy sea out of him. And so anyhow, finally I hit him so much that I couldn't hit no more. My arms were tired, so I just got up and went over, grabbed me another beer, and kept on drinking. And Richard got up and walked away. And we never hung around with him again.
Mm.
At times he wanted to go with us to wherever we went, and we just told him, get the hell out of here. So.
Why did he hang out with you guys if he was going to make racist comments?
I don't know. That's the thing I don't understand. Because he was always with us, and he was around the... Because a lot of times a bunch of guys would get together, not just Chicanos, but all races would get together, and we'd be over at a pizza place. Because at that time, Cheyenne, Wyoming was very cold. One time he was even 24 below zero.
Wow.
And that was without the wind chill factor. So it was 24 below zero, and we'd always drive up and go over to a pizza place. Sometimes we'd order pizza, sometimes we'd just order coffee, and we'd sit there drinking coffee and shooting the El Toro poop. Was just shooting a bull.
Mm-hmm.
So he was always with us. So this is the thing with V-Check was always there with us, and we got along with him good until that day. I don't know what made him do that, but I think I took care of business.
I understand that the Air Force was considering you as a candidate for their space program.
What was that like?
Hell, I don't know what the heck they did. I mean, they one day were there in basic training, and when we were there in basic training, our TI, training instructor, comes up and says, we need some volunteers. Well, a cousin of mine told me, he said, don't ever volunteer for anything. No matter what it is, because you'll be getting some crappy details.
Mm.
So I kept my hand down and kind of looked away from the sergeant. And finally he says, come on, he says, I need some volunteers. And he says, Hurtado, he says, I just seen you move your hand. Well, I might have moved my hand, but it was down here in the bottom, not up in the air. So I was, me and about six other guys, were sent to Clark Field, Clark Airfield, well, it's kind of like an Army post or Air Force Field or whatever it was, there's a big hospital there. Plus, they have the centrifuge, which is where the astronauts train.
Mm-hmm.
And they took us out there, and we went over there. They didn't tell us what it was for, and when they got us down, we were going downstairs in this spiral staircase, and there was some pictures of some people on there that I still didn't know who they were, and because they didn't look human. Some of them had their eyelids turned inside out, their lips turned inside out, their nostrils opened up they were huge nostrils, and I was wondering what the heck was going on in there. So they took us in there, and afterwards I found out that that was Armstrong and all the other astronauts that went into space, and what it was, they were taking so many G's that their eyelids would turn inside out.
Yeesh.
Their mouth with lips would be turning inside out. I mean, and saliva flying all over the place. And how many G's they were taking, I don't know, but I mean, they did not look human. So then afterwards, we were down there, and I said, Hurtado, step in here.
After seeing those pictures.
What is this? It's a centrifuge. At that time, I didn't know what a centrifuge was.
For our listeners, the centrifuge is that base, that spinny device you see in all the movies about space. It goes around really fast.
Yeah, it just goes running around in circles. Not up and down. It goes, what do you call it?
Circular.
Yes, but circular. And anyhow, they got me in that thing, and we're going around. We start going round and round, and I'm not feeling no sensation of going round in circles. All of a sudden, I feel like I'm going up in the air, and I mean straight up, not going up and then down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going straight up in the air, and when that's going on, I feel pressure on my chest like something's pushing me down, and then some pressure on my face like someone had put a big old hand on my face, and they're just pushing down on my face, and I can't move my head, and I can't move my body because my chest is being, seemed like it was just, you could say, almost like a horse or an elephant sitting on her.
Eesh.
And just pushing you down. I felt like my chest was going to hit my spine. In which nothing like that was happening, but that's what it felt like. That was the pressure we were that I was taking for on the G's or whatever it was we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they asked me to look up and see some buttons that were there. And I told him, I see it. He said, can you press the red button? And I thought I was just going to raise my hand up and press that button. But then again, my hand just started going real. I had a fist. My hand was made into a fist, and I was trying to raise it up. And I was making, using all the strength I had to be able to get my fist up. And when it was up above, right around my face, I was fighting to get my finger to straighten out my finger, to press that button. That, it was a weird feeling, but it's, everything happened okay, and I pressed the button, and then when we stopped, we ended up, they gave us a little cup, and, well, a cup, a styrofoam cup, and a little candy, and they said, here. Just do not swallow any of the saliva that is made from that candy. Spit it into a little cup. So that's what we did. We put that little candy in our mouth and it just filled up a cup with saliva. What that was for, they never told us. And then they took blood. And why they did all of this, we never know. We never found out. But I do know I was part of the space mission. They told us we were guinea pigs for the space mission.
Well, it's always good to be useful.
Yeah. And the thing on it is there aren't too many people that can say they did that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an experience and a half. I mean, I enjoyed it.
Sounds like quite a time.
Yeah, it was. It was interesting.
So, I guess now in conclusion, in closing, with all of the years now of after the war to look back upon and, like, the new wars that we've started and a lot of the new attitudes that the military have been adopting lately, was the Vietnam War worth it, and is America a better place now than it was then?
That's a hard one to answer. Mm-hmm. We're saying it's a better one because we did bring a lot of the boat people into the United States. And there's a little Saigon in California out there by Garden Grove, California. There's a little town by Westminster and Garden Grove that's called Little Saigon. And it's just like going back into Saigon, but with newer versions because the streets are paved and they got brand new homes and they got their own businesses and driving Mercedes-Benz. And so I don't know if it was for that part was for the best or what. But I can't really answer that question. I can just say what I seen, because I used to live there in Garden Grove, and we try to keep away from Little Saigon because all we'd get into was you'd see automobile accidents and the Mercedes-Benz were all wrecked and they had to learn how to drive. And there was a friend of mine that was working out there that was hit real bad, and the person didn't have insurance, and he was crippled for life. And the person that hit him was a Vietnamese. Plus, there was another incident that happened there in Little Saigon. This one person had a store there, a video store, and I don't know what else he was selling in there, but he had. At one point, he put up the picture of Ho Chi Minh, and there was a big thing about it there on the news and everything, and their own people made him take it down.
Hmm.
And I think he was sent back to Vietnam, and that's where his life ended.
Wow.
I heard the story on it not too long ago that they did take him back into Vietnam and they let him loose out there and they ended up, I guess they ended up killing him or something.
Just because you put up a picture of Ho Chi Minh in America, in Little Saigon?
Well, here in the United States, Ho Chi Minh was the president of the North Vietnamese, the Viet Cong. Mm-hmm. And the people from the South didn't like him.
Oh, yeah. I see.
And most of the people that were here were from the South. But that guy, I don't know how he ended up in here, but I guess he was a Viet Cong. In one way or another, he was a Viet Cong.
Mm-hmm.
And because who knows how many VCs came in with the boat people.
Yeah.
But because they were not being screened or anything like that.
Not as strict immigration laws as we have today.
No.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Larry. Once again, this has been Ian Westner for the Museum of the American Military Family. And we've been speaking with Larry Hurtado. And this is our podcast, America Remembers Vietnam.
Thanks a lot, Larry.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.